Just out of curiosity, when you see very young patients like this, is there a correlation? I'm curious what her sun exposure history was, and is that even relevant?
I do think it is relevant in many patients. There are a lot of young people, unfortunately, with melanoma, and there are some suggestions that intermittent sun exposure, so not necessarily people that have been out working in the fields for their whole life, like older people that have squamous cell, basal cell carcinomas, and then get a melanoma on their scalp or forehead. But younger people that have had a lot of tanning bed exposure, or weekend warriors that go out and fry on the weekends and then work in an office all week, or go on vacation every now and then and sit out for a week and get totally burned. There is some discussion that these BRAF mutant cases are associated with this younger group of demographic patients that have this intermittent sun exposure. And so it's definitely an issue that sun exposure can be a problem, especially given the fact that young people will have melanoma. Unfortunately, melanoma can still happen in places where the sun doesn't shine, for lack of a better expression, and it's clearly not only driven by the sun, but it's really important from a population health perspective to tell patients to be careful in the sun, use sunscreen, limit exposure to sun at the bright times of the day from 10 a.m. to 2 in the afternoon, and even longer than that. But I think it's hard to really know in any one individual case how much the sun contributed to things. But many times when we do mutation analyses of these patients' tumors, you'll see a lot of what are called C to T genetic changes, and that can reflect UV-induced damage that likely resulted in the melanoma in many of these cases.
So, you know, I've asked a lot of lung cancer investigators and oncologists about the issue of regret in lung cancer, for example, with smokers, but I never thought about it in melanoma. Do you find patients, particularly younger ones, who bring this up to you or that you become aware of, who have regrets, who feel, self-blame?
That does happen sometimes, and I think it's unfortunate that people feel this way. And I try to get people to, everyone's obviously very anxious, very depressed, even to have this diagnosis in the first place. So I try to really gear my conversations to focus on how we're going to move forward with the diagnosis, and that it's not so much helpful to go back and say you can't beat yourself up for the whole lifetime that you've lived enjoying yourself, whether you live in a sunny climate or you've been an outdoor kind of person. That's been part of people's lives. That's just who they are, and that's something that you can never take away from somebody. So at this point, I focus on moving forward. One of the questions I get all the time with people with metastatic melanoma is, should I stay inside now, or how much care do I need to take in the sun? And for people with metastatic melanoma, I really tell them the disease that you have at the moment is not going to be further exacerbated by additional sun exposure. So people are worried that being out in the sun, does that make the metastatic melanoma grow faster? And to the best of our knowledge from the research that's available, at least that I'm aware of, it doesn't accelerate the growth of the metastatic melanoma. So I tell people, just be careful, do what you were doing before, but just be cautious. Of course, sun exposure does put people at risk of an additional primary melanoma in the skin, but that's not usually the problem when someone's already facing metastatic melanoma. So I tell people they can't live in a cave. You have stage 3 or stage 4 melanoma. Just be smart. Follow with the dermatologist, and let's just focus on how we can try to make you better.
Interesting.